Welcome to our first episode of the bonus season of the Microbudget Indie Filmmakers Podcast. I'm your host, Zaina Thyrus, here with my co-host and collaborator, Brittany Franklin from Minorities in Film.
Hi.
Today, we are talking all things contracts. And I'm really excited about this episode because season 4/our bonus season is all about the practical. It's all about giving indie filmmakers very practical and tangible advice when it comes to making their films and giving them resources around that. So we have a corresponding workbook with each one of our episodes. And this episode's workbook is going to have 3 contract templates, a collaboration agreement, a crew and actor release form, and then also a location release template. So you all can head over to microbudgetfilmpodcast.com for all the digital workbooks and to stream this episode. But that's not all. Today we have a special guest. We are interviewing Scott Terry, which I'm really excited about. A little bit about Scott. He is currently working remote for Forsman & Bodenfors, New York City, running the business affairs and talent department. And fun fact, I worked with Scott when I was an agency producer in Chicago, and he made the producer's lives so much easier because he knew everything about contracts, talent agreements, all of those things. So we're really excited to chat with him today. Hi, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Zaina. Thank you. Great to be on your podcast.
Yes, it's going to be fun. Okay, so I'll go in for the first question. Pretty basic. Could you introduce yourself, your background, and then what made you go into business affairs?
Yeah, so I'm Scott Terry, like you said, Director of Business Affairs at Forsman & Bodenfors, New York. And I have been doing this for, wow, it's been, I guess, like 27 years.
I've been doing this my whole life, Scott. My whole entire life.
I guess I'm getting old for advertising, but whatever. So I actually originally wanted to be a copywriter. And so I was doing some copywriting at a small agency working on like DeVry and Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but it was such a small agency that we had, I was doing multiple roles. So I was doing like traffic and a little bit of account management and things like that. So I realized at some point that I didn't know if I could be creative all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of fell into business affairs. So I went into traffic and then kind of worked my way up through talent management and business affairs. A lot of Omnicom shops, I didn't plan it out that way, but mm-hmm. BBDO, DDB, TBWA. And yeah, so here I am now.
Wow, what a journey. I always love hearing about people's like backgrounds and how they got into the roles that they have, because a lot of times, especially in advertising, you have people that have very unconventional routes into the role that they have today. So that's fascinating. What do you wish filmmakers knew about contracts and agreements before going into their production?
You know, I think the best advice is basically just to make sure that you realize it's a collaboration. Everybody wants it all to go well and smooth and no legal issues or fights or, God forbid, any lawsuits or anything at the end of the day. So the best thing to do is just to make sure to really dig into, like, there's usually like a kind of a checkbox section where what is the agency in charge of and what is the production company in charge of. So it could be props and wardrobe or, you know, editing or the film, just so many different pieces of it, but just making sure that everyone knows which party is responsible for which piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll have an example of that in the collaboration agreement in our digital workbook. It clearly outlines the roles and responsibilities of each party involved, and having that written and agreed upon is, to your point, it is so crucial
absolutely
to the success of a production, and having that up front. I don't want to hog all the questions. Brittany, do you want to ask 3 and 4?
Yeah, so going into, you know, production, one thing that we've noticed is a huge pain point is production insurance. So why is production insurance / certificate of insurance important to have, even on a micro budget production?
Yeah, no, definitely insurance is crucial comes to the production. One of the things I've seen most that would happen on a shoot is like a camera being broken, damaged, lens. And so if you have the insurance, you know, it's a tiny percentage usually of your budget, but that will cover you to get a new camera, to get a new lens. But it, you know, it covers just so many different variables. And, you know, it's good to have. I mean, even in life.
Yeah, right. I think it's also like, you made such a really good point. It's a small percentage of your budget, because our podcast audience is geared towards micro budget independent filmmakers that are doing filmmaking on a really scrappy, nimble scale. And I think that a lot of times our first go-to move is, where can we cut costs? Don't cut costs with production insurance. Like, yeah. It's only a small portion of your budget, but it will, if you end up, to your point, breaking something on set or needing to replace it, you're going to wish that you spent the few $100 on a policy that's going to cover a camera or something that is way more than a few $100. So like, yeah. Do not cut corners there with insurance.
I mean, we had a shoot where a vehicle actually flipped over in the mountains, and it's good we had insurance to, you know, help sort that out.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I wish that on no one. I would have been right. I don't know how I would have handled that.
Oh man, like from a producer's perspective too. I'm just trying to envision being on set where it's like, well, let's take a break.
Oh man. Okay, so moving on. What is the difference between a release form and a DO memo?
So yeah, so I know when it comes to like celebrities, for instance, when you initially are trying to get them on board, you send them basically like a short form contract that you'd call a deal memo. And it just basically outlines how much you're going to pay them, what the usage is going to be, the term, the territory, you know, just basically like a one pager. And then you can get them on board and agree to just the basic bones of the agreement. And then you can get further into like a long form contract. So, you know, and that could happen. You could also do that maybe if you want to do that with crew. And the long form could take quite a while to get signed, especially with lawyers involved and things like that. So, I mean, the long form might even be signed after you're already running the commercial. but at least you have that deal memo in place that's signed. So you've agreed on the basic terms.
Got it. So crew deal memo is like the introduction. It's like, all right, we're all agreeing that this is taking place. And then the nuances that come along with that can come later on in something that is more long form.
Yeah. And typically with commercials with crew, you know, that would be probably, you know, between the production company and the crew, because they're the ones hiring them. But say we wanted to put the crew in like a behind the scenes video. The agency would basically do like a release that's just kind of a one pager saying, yes, you know, you agree to be in the background of this behind the scenes, and you know, these are the terms and conditions. So yeah,
I think that's really cool and interesting to hear from the commercial, like big budget side of things. And I think on a micro budget scale, I keep bringing up the workbook. I'm very excited about the digital workbook, but. What I did was for my independent film productions, I use the example that I use the template that I use for all of my productions for crew release forms. And it's pretty much a combined deal memo and release form. So it has like, this is your role. This is the compensation, whether it's IMDb credit and footage for your reel or a stipend, but then it also goes into your participation in the project and like a release. So it's like, it's a release form that has the crew deal memo information in it.
Which is perfect. Yeah. I mean, if you can get it all done in one form up front, even easier.
There's definitely so many ways to go about it, because even like on the commercial side, there's so much you can implement on narrative, right? And a lot of new filmmakers, one thing they can take away from it is how to handle business affairs. And right. Contrary to what, you know, Zaina said, when I was in production, initial outreach looked like, you know, the deal memo, right? Like we're all in this conversation for months before we even go into shooting. So it's like, I need to have that in place to know that we're going to keep talking. You're going to be involved for months how you want to be involved in it. And then we're working out the tweaks as we go into maybe development or pre-production. And then we'll go down to the nitty gritty. And I noticed that a lot of new filmmakers, they're ideating for a longer period than they are executing. Right. So it might be a good thing to keep in mind when it comes to micro budget.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to make sure that you still have interest from the person from the beginning, to, especially if you're putting in that many months of time into the production.
100%. And then getting more into like the nitty gritty of it, what are some things that are important or like what you would say mandatory to have in a deal, crew deal memo or release form? Like, what are some of the basics that's like in any sort of agreement between parties, these are things you should include in the contract?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, dollar amount if you're paying them or not paying them, if for some reason maybe it's like a pro bono project or something like that. But you definitely want the territory, the term, the usage, you know, because it can vary wildly between a national TV commercial to just running on one website or something. So, and you know, if it's running US or worldwide. So yeah, those are the, I would say, the most important things.
For sure. And it's the territory conversation, like I can go down a whole rabbit hole on this one, because it's like, you know, for indie filmmakers on a micro budget scale, we're not really thinking a lot of times, we're not thinking of like where this will go when it's all wrapped up. And you also don't want to limit yourself with opportunities that can come, you know, down the road for getting your film screened or distributed. Some of my independent documentaries, I learned to put in the release forms that this is worldwide territory, because there were a lot of international film festivals, international schools that wanted to license it for their university library. And I wanted the filmmakers to know that this is something that I intend to go global. Even if I didn't have that mapped out prior to, it's important to state that, you know, the territories, it might not just be at your local film festival. It might be somewhere that you never even imagined that your work would be seen. And kind of covering your bases up front in a contract, that's a really good note.
And also too, I mean, you know, when it comes to films or commercials, you also, it's always good to get written into it that you can submit it for award shows, so that you have that usage, because, you know, the term might only be a year, but the award shows could go on for years that you want to enter. So you want to make sure you have that, because, you know, everybody, who doesn't like awards, right?
Right. Exactly. We did, one of the questions that I did want to ask, why is a location agreement important between a producer or production company and whatever location they're filming in? And I'm always adamant about indie filmmakers having a location agreement in place, even if you're filming at your aunt's house, even if you're filming, you know, in your neighbor's backyard. You need a written agreement between both parties. And so if you can just talk a little bit about why location agreements are vital on any scale of production.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, being from business affairs, the more agreements, the better, I think, because it just protects everyone all around. But yeah, I mean, even if it's a friend's house, you definitely want to get that location release, because then, you know, if anything happens like further down the line and they're like, oh, you're supposed to pay me more money, and you have it all up front written that, you know, this is what we agreed to. And so it's settled and you don't have to worry about it later on.
For sure. Yeah. I always put my location owner's address on my certificate of insurance as another just like CYA, as you call it. But I'm like, you know what, if anything happens, and I make sure that the location insurance policy covers location damage as well, up to a certain dollar amount. So if we damage a wall, you know, like while filming, or the floors, you know, if we are filming a horror movie and we have fake blood and it stains the carpet or whatever that may be, where you're covered in addition to the location agreement.
Yeah. And when it comes to locations too, you also want to make sure that you get to the person that actually can sign off on that. So if someone's a renter, you might need to go to the landlord that actually owns the property.
Yep.
And I'm assuming, you know, commercial properties are even different, you know.
Yes, and exactly.
Different process.
Yeah, because then they're going to have, you know, they could have multiple people that maybe need to sign off on it or things like that. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to point out that, you know, the verbiage that we're using, agreements versus contracts and all of those things. And I want to kind of like add a note on why that's so important that we're using the word agreement or release form versus can you sign this contract?
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, some of them can be a little interchangeable, but at the same time, you know, like we were talking about contract versus deal memo. Those are different because it's, you know, the deal memos, like we were saying, just that like one sheeter upfront, you know, agreement, whereas the contract could be, you know, 10 pages, 15 pages. So there are some differences, but, you know, sometimes a contract or release, you can kind of interchange them if it's like talent, say talent release, talent contracts. But there are some differences, like we said, with the deal memo and like the long form contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than the car flipping over unexpectedly, do you have any business affairs horror stories? Like, have you worked with producers that didn't get contract signed and then it completely blew up? Or like, is there any, do you have a nightmare project to share?
The tea.
Yeah.
So I would say the biggest one actually ended up being with licensed music. So, you know, we had our master and our sync, and we thought we knew who all the parties were that owned it all. And, you know, they would say, yep, we have 100% of this side. And then found out at like the 11th hour that there was another party that claimed that they had 100%. I believe it was for the master. And so basically we were caught in the middle of these two, you know, giant companies fighting over who had the rights to sign and to give it to us. And it got down to, yeah, like the night before we were supposed to be going on air. And we had our music company that kind of got in the middle and was like, okay, come on, you two, you need to play nice. Let's get this resolved. At least for this production, you guys can go on and sort it out later for future productions, but for this one, we need to get this solved now. and they did an amazing job
in the ninth hour. I mean, this is as a micro budget indie filmmaker, I always use royalty free music. I have never licensed a song from anyone. And I think that's from my background of commercial production, seeing just how music licensing can turn, to your point, into something that is nightmarish. I'm like, let me go to YouTube's royalty-free music library where it clearly states that you can use this for whatever purpose and just kind of, you know, save it from there. But I think that this is also a really good point to include in this episode, because there are a lot of filmmakers that would want to work with indie artists or want to work with people to compose original music for their films. So definitely having a collaboration agreement, a release form of some sort between whoever owns the music, wrote the song, composed the piece, and the filmmaker is crucial.
Yeah.
And going back to the insurance piece too, like, yeah, if you are going to work with like an independent composer, you definitely need to make sure that there's some kind of insurance with them. They call it like errors and omissions insurance, so that if they compose something that ends up being like copied of another song, then you're going to have troubles down the line. And, you know, you can also hire like a musicologist that will basically take, you know, their music and compare it to basically everything else out in the world. I don't know how they have this deep knowledge of all the music in the world, but they can say, oh no, this is definitely original because of this set of notes and these chords and things like that. But the insurance, again, and there's companies you can find that can provide it, will protect you then from being sued by maybe like a major label down the road that said, no, you ripped that song off from our artist.
Mm-hmm. Music.
That's super interesting.
Right? That's a job.
I learned a word, you know. I didn't know music colleges existed, but it's also so interesting because now I'm thinking about it, the landscape is changing. We have new filmmakers that are also collaborating more with new artists. You have like terms of negotiations talking about mixes and splits and remasters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's like bringing me back to the agreements and the usage and the terms of how it's going to be used. Like, should they include this mix, or like if it's remastered, like how do you even wrap your brain around all of that as a new filmmaker?
Right.
Exactly. And you could always, you know, add in options to a contract. So if you wanted to extend the usage or broaden the usage, you can have it as an option so that you can do it down the line, but you don't have to pay for it now. You can pay for it later.
Oh, cool. That's a plug.
Yes, right? And then the last question I have for you, Scott, is what is a career highlight? Like, what's the best production you've ever worked on? Where is something that you are like, that's in your background of work that you're like, this is, my career life has peaked with this project?
So, yeah, I mean, I love, you know, when we first started out years ago, it was all just commercials and TV and radio. And then, you know, just things just started gradually changing. And I got the opportunity for Skittles to work on Skittles, the Broadway musical, which was very cool because I was like, okay, from a business affairs standpoint, how do we figure this out? How do we figure this out on the production end? And we were lucky to work with Smuggler at the time, who they have someone on staff who'd actually done a Broadway musical before. So they helped like walk us through some things. And yeah, I mean, it turned out amazing. It was only shown to a few hundred people, like kind of off Broadway in New York, but it was on Super Bowl Sunday. And so, the big game. And so it got so much buzz though in the press, like, you know, millions and millions of impressions, that it turned out great. And then now, I mean, I've heard of other agencies now trying to do their own musicals. So we kind of started a trend, I guess.
That is so cool.
Skittles had a musical off Broadway. I'm still stuck on that. I was like, is everybody dressed in like different Skittles? Like,
you know, I didn't get the chance to go, but you could probably, you know, go online and find some clips of the teasers and stuff. But yeah, they even did like fake like merchandise where there was, you know, they had people selling fake t-shirts outside for the musical.
Wow.
They had like a bodega, a fake bodega set up selling Skittles. Like, it was pretty fun.
I mean, it's just been really enlightening hearing about your journey and the trajectory of your career in general. I think I know a lot of people are going to listen to this and they're going to be like, maybe I need a business affairs manager.
And you know what? Like, I similarly to a lot of my productions, I think the really cool thing about indie filmmaking is that you can craft roles for your production. Like, I have a set chef to do catering, you know, for indie filmmaking for my sets so that it keeps the cost down. But actually having, you know, a filmmaker who maybe has a production background or really likes contracts to be, you know, in charge of your location agreements, your crew deal memos and issuing those and bringing on someone to actually handle the business affairs of your project, that could be done on any scale of production.
Yeah, and it's really interesting too, because like around the world, obviously the US is a very litigious country, and that's why business affairs is so important here, but there's other countries where, you know, they don't have to worry about this as much because people are more into, I don't know, verbal agreements and they're not suing each other. In other countries too, like the producers will handle the business affairs end of things as well, which I don't know, I think it should just be separate. You know, let the producers focus on the creative, mm-hmm. The business affairs can handle the contracts and paperwork and all that stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't have survived as an agency producer if I also had to handle all
me neither.
Like, not at all.
It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. It's definitely a lot, but it's good to have people like you to guide us through the way.
Exactly. Thanks. Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us, Scott. If you all want to follow and keep up with Scott, his social media handles are at Scott Terry, ScottTerry, and on Instagram at Scott Terry Co. This episode is going to be, oh man, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to learn so much from this. I'm really, really, really excited. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at _microbudgetpod and cop the workbook for this episode at www.microbudgetfilmpodcast.com.